For KFSK News, I'm Angela Denning. Alaska's seafood processors were hit hard last year in 2020. Meanwhile, markets for seafood saw some growth during the pandemic. Recent surveys show that those industry outcomes could be seen again this year. Here's more on this. Alaska's seafood industry has a lot of moving parts. There are the fishermen, the processors, the market, as well as the fish themselves. By all accounts, the pandemic has been hard on the processors. Last year, they spent about $70 million in mitigation measures and responding to the pandemic. But this year, it's expected to be even more, over $100 million. In fact, a lot of it has already been spent this year.
There were challenges and some plant closures that happened despite all these protocols.
Dan Lesh is with McKinley Research Group that surveyed processors and others in March about the effects of COVID on Alaska's seafood industry. He says the flatfish industry was hit hard with outbreaks in January, causing expensive plant closures. Those costs are in addition to the ongoing price for pandemic mitigation.
A lot of these costs are already baked in, and a lot of that, my understanding is that most of the mitigation measures will be continued.
So basically, there are more months this calendar year dealing with the pandemic. Processors surveyed said their peak employment last year dropped 31%. That's from intentionally smaller workforces, as well as problems recruiting and retaining workers. Two-thirds of processors received COVID relief money, but it only covered 24% of their costs on average.
None of the processors said it covered even half their costs. 35% was the highest estimate we got in our survey.
But Lesh says there's hope that more relief money could come this year with newer programs. As for the seafood market, while it's hard to summarize all species together, some areas saw growth. Salmon, for example.
Every indication is that everything's been sold out from last year.
There were times where we saw 30 to 40% increases in frozen and fresh seafood sales.
Ashley Heimbigner is with the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, which contracted the research group for the study. She says online seafood sales skyrocketed during the pandemic.
So people are also getting more comfortable buying seafood online, and that's, you know, through Instacart or their local grocer, but also through community-supported fisheries and direct marketers, you know, ordering direct from fishermen as well. So people are seeking out new ways to find these new seafood purchasing options.
That's online, though. The food service market dropped out as restaurants were closed, and that instability affected prices paid to fishermen. Then there's the fish. 2020 is considered the worst year for salmon since the 70s, and the state is seeking 8 separate fisheries disaster declarations. The statewide forecast for some species doesn't look very promising. Chum are expected to be down 23% from the 10-year average, and pinks, which return every other year, could be down 41% from recent odd years. But it's hard to predict what exactly the season will be. One thing's for sure, vaccinations are going to play a major role. One of Alaska's biggest processors, Trident Seafoods, is requiring a fully vaccinated workforce for its Petersburg plant. Last year, workers stayed in a closed campus. In an email, spokesperson Shannon Carroll says they'll keep campus open this year with some restrictions, as long as the town is in a low-risk status. Tonka Seafoods, a smaller local processor, isn't requiring vaccinations, but is strongly encouraging them with incentives. Co-owner Seth Scrimshire says about 80% of its workforce is currently vaccinated. Petersburg's largest processor, OBI, which employs hundreds of workers, would not comment for the story. However, the local emergency operations center said the company told the borough that they planned a 90% vaccination rate for resident employees and 100% for transient workers. And if they achieve this, then they will likely have an open campus. But, like Heimbigner says, how 2021 turns out for the multi-billion dollar industry will remain unknown, at least for now.
You know, I wish I had that crystal ball.
In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And to see the findings of the McKinley Research Group's surveys on the impacts to Alaska's seafood industry, go to our website, kfsk.org. There's a link there along with this story, or find us on Facebook. The U.S. Senate passed a bill yesterday that could allow large cruise ships to return to Alaska ports this summer. Alaska's Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports.
The bill temporarily lifts the required stop in Canada for foreign cruise ships, which comprise nearly the entire fleet. It passed in a largely empty chamber.
Madam President, I ask unanimous consent that the Murkowski Amendment at the desk be agreed to and the bill as amended be considered read a third time.
Is there objection?
Senator Lisa Murkowski says if all goes well, the cruise lines could return to Alaska in mid or late July.
We have to hope that they still view this as an opportunity and that people still want to come and travel to Alaska for the latter half of that season.
The bill must pass the House, and Murkowski says the Alaska delegation is still working on the Centers for Disease Control to amend its pandemic restrictions on cruise ships. The Senate-passed bill adds a temporary bypass to the Passenger Vessel Services Act. That's a 19th-century law intended to favor domestic fleets. It says a foreign vessel can't carry passengers between U.S. ports. Foreign-flagged cruise ships get around it by making a stop in Canada on voyages between Washington State and Alaska. Last year, with the pandemic raging, Canada stopped allowing it. There's a lot of work ahead if Alaska is going to salvage part of its cruise season, and it's not entirely in Washington, D.C. Murkowski predicts a scramble in Alaska port towns for workers and shop inventory.
There's been so many moving pieces here that we've had to kind of cobble together, and I'm feeling much better today than I have in weeks about the viability for a semblance of a cruise season this summer.
Murkowski says she's optimistic the bill can pass the House. The Alaska delegation has already quelled objections from senators who don't like protectionist laws like the Passenger Vessel Services Act, and with others who wanted to see concessions from the cruise industry to protect consumers. Some of that work should allay similar concerns held by House members. Reporting from Washington, D.C., I'm Liz Ruskin.
Governor Mike Dunleavy announced yesterday afternoon that there will be two upcoming special legislative sessions. The first 30-day session would begin on May 20th, the day after the regular session ends. It will focus on finishing work on the state budget and on a constitutional amendment intended to protect the permanent fund's earnings reserve, permanent fund dividends, and a fund lowering rural electricity costs. Dunleavy said in a statement late yesterday afternoon that it was clear that more time is needed based on his conversations with legislative leaders. He said, quote, "Nothing is more important than giving Alaskans a long-term solution to our fiscal challenges, and this session is an important first step." The second special session would begin on August the 2nd. Dunleavy is directing the legislature to work on constitutional amendments to limit spending and to require a vote by Alaskans before new taxes can be instituted. It would also consider potential bills to increase state revenue and to spend federal relief funds. Petersburg High School's baseball team recorded its first win of the season at home against the Sitka Wolves last Saturday. It was also the first victory for Petersburg's program against Sitka and first W since 2019. The Vikings lost Friday 14-4 and the first game of Saturday's doubleheader 16-8 before winning the second game 10-9. Petersburg had a strong offensive outing with 13 doubles over the weekend and also honored five seniors who will be graduating this year. Joe Vicknicki spoke with Coach Jim Engel about the Sitka series.
Sitka's a really good baseball program. They've won multiple state tournaments over the years. We've never beaten them before, so that it's a team we've always, you know, tried to emulate, and so they showed up here, and we had a lot of positive things happen. Friday night was kind of a similar game to what we've done throughout the year, where we've had good innings, and then we just kind of melt down. We gave up 6 runs in the second inning and 7 runs in the fifth inning and lost 14-4. I think the guys were all a little frustrated with that game because it felt like a winnable game. You know, we're down 7-4 in the fifth inning, going into the fifth inning, and then it just ballooned on us, and then we can't get ourselves out of the mercy rule. So we had a lot of errors in that game, which has been the common theme throughout the season, and I think I was hoping the guys would take it to heart, and sure enough they did coming in Saturday. some positives that happened. We hit the ball well. We pretty much matched them for hits. We had a home run, two-run home run in the bottom of the first inning from sophomore Jack Engel, who had Brendan Skeek was on base and so was able to hit a home run. We actually hit three home runs that week over the weekend, which is unheard of for our program. So that was, went home kind of a sour taste in our mouth, feeling it was a kind of let one go, wishing we'd done some things differently. I noticed guys showing up early on Saturday, earlier than they were supposed to be there for early batting practice. They were supposed to show up and we were doing batting practice in at a certain time, and guys showed up about a half hour early and were taking extra cuts. And to me, that was a good sign that they were serious about it, kind of taking it to heart. The first game on Saturday was a really good game. It was a full game, seven innings. We pounded out 13 hits, only one error. Unfortunately, we lost the game 16-8, but it was a good baseball game. You got to the end of it and go, they won. We didn't beat ourselves. It was just they hit the ball and got runs when we couldn't, and we couldn't. Some highlights in that one. Andrew Cole hits a two-run home run just to see the productivity of our bats come alive. We had six doubles that day, in that game, which was we've never pounded the ball that well. So there was a lot of positive things in the midst of a loss. And fortunately, it went full seven innings. We didn't have to look back and go, if we would only done this, if we'd only done that, if we'd eliminated our errors, boy, it would have been a closer game. It was a good, exciting game, fun to watch from a fan's perspective. It gave us a little bit of hope there. We had our senior appreciation in between the two games. We have five seniors this year. Four are active right now. One is injured and out for the season. But we honored those. Brecken Davis, who's our one that's injured, Max Marol, Matthias Volk, Isaac Vinson, and Brennan Skeek. We're all honored and honored their parents, of course, for all the sacrifices they've done throughout the years to get them through sports. And we played a heck of a ball game. It was a fun game, another seven-inning game. It was 2-2 at the end of the first inning. We couldn't have scripted a senior day any better than this. Brennan Skeek led off the first inning for us with a home run. And we scored another run, so we tied the game up 2-2. And then they put two runs on in the second, and then we put five runs on in the third, had 7-4. It was 10-4 at the end of five. And then they put five runs between the sixth and seventh, and we went 10-9. In the midst of all that was great defense, great pitching. Matthias Volk, one of our seniors, had a great game pitching, went a complete game to get the win. We had great defensive play in the outfield from Max Marol and from Isaac Vinson, just incredible. Some really difficult catches that they ran down. Max had an incredible double in the third inning, in that five-run third inning, a bases-loaded double to score all three runs. And it was just exciting to see. He's been struggling at the plate, put the time in, doing that extra batting practice, getting back on the tee, doing the things he needed to do, and I just was hoping he'd be rewarded. And he killed the ball. It just crushed the double, and it was just exciting to see. In that game, they kept on switching their pitchers out. They couldn't stop our bats, and we had 13 hits that day. So we had 26 hits that in the day between the two games. So we get to the seventh inning, and they put three runs on, 10-9, two outs. They got a runner at first, and Matthias Volks coaxes a pop fly to second base, so the game ends with a senior catch in the last out.
And that is Petersburg High School's baseball coach Jim Engel talking about the games against Sitka last weekend. The local team has this weekend off before traveling to Juneau to play Thunder Mountain. The Vikings are still hoping to secure an at-large berth at the first ever Division II state tournament. For KFSK News, I'm Angela Denton.